Okay. Well, we're making our way through the Heidelberg Catechism this evening and the last many evenings. We are on Lord's Day 43. And again, we've made our way through the guilt section. Yes, we understand we're sinners. We've made our way through the much more beefy grace section of the Heidelberg Catechism. So yes, we understand Jesus has died for our sins and offers us life. And now we are in the gratitude section. How do we live in gratitude? Guilt, grace, gratitude. It's the paradigm of the Christian life. And under the gratitude section, yes, we get the Ten Commandments. And we are now in the ninth commandment, which is, do not bear false witness. You guys should know it this time, every week. The question's going to come. The seventh commandment is, ninth commandment is, do not bear false testimony or bear false witness. And so with that, I will ask the question that's in your little handout there, and we can recite the answer together, and then we can look at some of those Bible passages and go from there. What is God's will for you in the ninth commandment? God's will is that I never give false witness against anyone, twist no one's words, not gossip or slander, nor join in condemning anyone without a hearing or without a just cause. Rather, in court and everywhere else, I should avoid lying and deceit of every kind. These are devices the devil himself uses, and they would call down on me God's intense anger. I should love the truth, speak it candidly, and openly acknowledge it. And I should do what I can to guard and advance my neighbor's good name. This is a fiery one. Proverbs 19, verse 5. Proverbs 19, verse 5. I do know that I could just write these out on my little notes here and fire through them quickly. But I do think that even with these small verses, it's good for us to take time and see them in our Bibles, look at them, know that these are the words of the Lord. So Proverbs 19, verse 5, and then verse 9. Proverbs 19, verse 5, verse 9. This is the word of the Lord. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will not escape. Verse 9. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will perish. Turn to the New Testament, Romans 1. This is that very well-known passage where Paul is describing the sins of the Gentiles. Yes, many respects, the sins of the whole world. Paul will go there in that argument in Romans, but specifically the Gentiles. And I often describe this particular paragraph as one of the most terrifying paragraphs in the whole Bible. Proverbs 1:28-32. Since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. That's a terrifying verse. Meaning that the world, like deep down in our hearts, is we are image bearers of God. We know, as creatures of God, God has put eternity into the hearts of man. We know that those who practice these things deserve to die under God's wrath. And yet the world, in a high-handed, nose up against the Lord, not only do them, but you actually encourage others into that. That's how far we've fallen. And what sins are included in there as it relates to the ninth commandment? Gossips and slanderers.
slandering others' good name. John 8:44. This is Jesus speaking to the Jews, and he accuses them that their father is not God or Abraham, but the devil. John 8:44. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And as the ninth commandment relates to lying about other people, that is a telling verse of where those lies are coming from. Ephesians 4:25, one last verse. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we confess that we are sinners, that we do not rejoice in the truth, that we struggle speaking well of each other, even though this ninth commandment is included in such a terrifying verse such as Romans 1. It deserves death. It deserves your wrath. Father, we confess that we struggle with this, to speak well of others. We like to complain about others. We like to speak down of others. Father, we pray that you would convict us and save us from this and grow us into men and women, Christians who love one another and rejoice in the truth and assume the best and protect one another's good name, as we recognize that our good name is not just a good name in the world, but a good name purchased by Christ, a good name in Christ, and that means something. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we consider the ninth commandment this evening, we're in some rather tricky waters, which I think most of us struggle with on a weekly basis. We are Christians. We love one another. Yes. We want to pray for one another. Yes. We want to know one another's burdens and cares, and we want to shoulder one another's burdens together. So what does that mean? We want knowledge. Right? We want to know things about one another. And I think if we're really feeling spiritual, we want to know those hard and difficult things about other people. How can I be praying for you? We might ask. This is a request for information, even personal information for people. And it's like we are called to pray for one another. We are called to bear one another's burdens. And so, yes, do that. Although, recognize that you are called to bear one another's burdens. And that means something. That's probably going to come a cost to yourself. Information sharing about one another is burden sharing. It's not necessarily an easy thing. So as we want to love one another and get involved with one another's lives and carry one another's burden as Christ calls us to, that necessarily means we want knowledge about one another. We want information, and hopefully we want the truth. Let's say we get that truth. Let's say we hear a really hard, sad word about another Christian in the church. They are struggling with a particular sin, or they are in a difficult financial situation. So the question then is, okay, I've got the information. Now what do I do with it? That's the crossroads that makes or breaks, in some ways, a church. What do we do with it? Whether the information we have about a person is true or not, the reality is any information about a person is a matter of consequence. It literally is a burden. I think we often hear the ninth commandment and think, do not bear false witness. That means don't say anything false or untrue about another person. Right? So if it's true, then we can say it, because it's not a false witness, it's a true witness. I am truthfully sharing information about another person. We can spread it around, perhaps with some discretion, yes, but it is true, I hope. There's certainly a natural desire, I think, to want to spread the information. It's not always a malicious matter to want to spread information about someone. Sometimes we do it carelessly. Sometimes we do it, quite frankly, because shouldering the information all by ourselves is a big burden to bear. Have you ever had a secret that is a very difficult secret about someone else, and you're expected to keep it in confidence? Is that easy? It's actually quite difficult. It is a burden, and I think that's why when we say carry one another's burdens, well, if it doesn't feel like a burden, there's probably something wrong. And, of course, the good news is we don't need to carry one of those burdens alone ever. Who do we ultimately have? We have Jesus, right? There's a great antidote to all of our problems. So there's certainly a natural desire to want to spread the information. So sometimes we do it carelessly. Sometimes we do it because it's a lot to bear. And so you get a hard word about someone you don't know how to process it. This is a big burden. I feel the need to process this. I need to find a way to explain this. I can't do this on my own. Let me talk to someone. So you bring it up in the prayer meeting or during the fellowship hour. When it all comes down to it, the ninth commandment is a commandment that isn't simply calling us to, quote, like, be people of the truth, right? But rather, people who wisely handle the truth. Thinking of that, you can't handle the truth, right? We are called to be people, not just people of the truth, but people who wisely handle the truth. Truth is powerful. It can build up and it can destroy. It can quickly be used to recklessly tear down. It is also weighty. Truth is weighty, and we often feel the need to bring others in so that we don't have to shoulder all the weight by ourselves. What do we do with truth, especially as it relates to other people's lives and reputations? Well, do not bear false witness. We reread the confession. The last two sentences there state, I should love the truth, I should speak it candidly, and openly acknowledge it. Yes, so that's good. But then what do we... Okay, so does that mean just speak it out? There's the truth. No. And, the last sentence of the catechism there, and I should do what I can in order to guard and advance my neighbor's good name. And that's the more difficult part. That is the most difficult part, and it takes discretion. In the strictest sense of the term, do not bear false witness. That is, in the strictest sense of the term, it may just be referring to not bearing a false witness in court or in some sort of trial situation. If there's a quarrel between children, in the church, in the home, and mom steps in as the impartial judge, she knows that someone is breaking the ninth commandment in her court of law if the children are pointing. Both of them are pointing the finger and saying, he did it. No, he did it. Right? You know, at that point, mom has every right to say, one of you is siding with the devil right now, and you can side with Jesus by repenting and confessing the truth. And that brings you in the ninth commandment. So that's an everyday household judicial trial, as I see it. Do not bear a false witness, properly speaking. But yes, there are a number of biblical words or concepts that relate to this ninth commandment in a more broad sense. Remember the biblical words that some of our scripture verses use. So do not revile. First Peter 3:9. So reviling, is that a breaking of the ninth commandment? Yes. Put away falsehood. So just generic falsehood. Yes, Ephesians 4:25. Then there was the big dog verse in Romans 1:29 describing those who God gave up to a debased mind. They are gossips. Here's another word. They are slanderers. Another word. They are haters of God. Insolent. Maybe that's related to all this. Haughty, boastful, inventors of evil. So there we have gossip and slander as two different sins. Insolence is included. That is a complete disregard of respect for someone else. You're insolent. They're inventors of evil. People who make up wicked and false stories about other people or just false ideas. Those are all underneath the ninth commandment in one way or another. Reviling is an ungodly form of name-calling usually in public, often exaggerating the truth. I'm reviling you. Exaggerating the truth often, and very public usually. Slander is like reviling, although I think it's often less overtly malicious. Right? Reviling, I cannot think of reviling ever being used in a way that is not necessarily malicious. Slander, you can accidentally fall into slander. Slander is perhaps more expressly the spreading of a false report about somebody. This is a false report. I thought it was true. Turns out it wasn't. So if you hear word of someone's sin or shortcoming and you bring it up in a prayer meeting only to find out later that it wasn't true, you have slandered. You need to go confess that to those who heard you slander, correct your error to restore that person's name, and then you should probably go to the brother who you slandered and apologize to them. And here's the beauty about this. If you actually make a practice of confessing your sin and rather like to the people you've sinned against, like I've sinned against you by slandering that brother's name to you, so I need to confess that to you and apologize to you and restore his name in your eyes, but then I have to go to him too. He may not know about it, but I know I sinned against him, right? And restore that. If you do that, chances are you're going to be a lot more careful with your words next time. One of the best ways to prevent yourself from gossiping and slander is to actually confess it to the people you need to confess it to. I can guarantee you that will be a wonderful little antidote to the next time you're tempted to gossip and slander if you hold yourself to that bar. It will also be a wonderful thing in our church. These people, if they accidentally spread false reports, they really take care of it. They take it to the cross. They confess it, and they restore one another. They don't just sweep things under the rug. So slander, you're spreading something that is not true. Maybe you find out that it's not true later on. Then there's gossip. Gossip is what is at work in Proverbs 18:8, when we read, "The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body." Gotta love the gossip. Gossip is spreading those juicy details around when you don't have to or when you don't have any business doing so. It's volunteering information about another person when it's not yours to volunteer. It's, as the Young puts it, it's sharing unsubstantiated or unnecessary information about others. And yes, it's often done by the whisperer who is whispering in the corner of the church because she knows it's not supposed to be said loudly. And yes, it's often juicy like a delicious morsel. And yes, it's often a way to get power. So there's not bearing a false witness in courts, not falsely accusing someone in some court judicial setting, whether it's at home with mom and dad or in an actual civil court. If you falsely accuse someone, you needlessly destroy their good name. So underneath all of that are any sins which do the same thing, needlessly harming a person's reputation, whether you're reviling someone, well, slander can do that too, or gossip. How do we fall into this? Again, we fall into it with information. We get information, whether it's true information or false information, and we need to discern what we will do with that information. Will we investigate it and proceed through the proper channels that God has given the church? Ask the person, hey, I heard this. Is this true? Do you need help? Can I share this with people in the church so that they can be praying? Can we bring this to the elders? I think the church would do well to get much better at private conversations and difficult private conversations. Recognize we love one another in Jesus. We will be patient. We are commanded to be patient with one another. So that would be one channel. Go to them and ask them, hey, can we bring this up? Can we put this on the prayer page? I often do that. Hey, like Casey and Josh, before I put that whole situation on the prayer page, what can I share with the church? Right? I don't want to spread false information, and I don't want to spread needless information. there's all kinds of channels that God has given, Matthew 18 type channels that we would help us to handle information about others properly. It just simply takes patience. It takes humility. It takes courage to have a hard conversation. It takes wisdom. And yes, it also takes strength to burden a hard word. What happens if, yes, I have this information and I go ask that person, hey, can we allow other people in the church, bring them in, let them pray? And they say, no, let's just keep it between us. Are you willing to burden that? Or do you just need to get that out to other people? The Bible calls you to burden that. Obviously, if it's something that you think, no, this needs to go to the elders, give them a good case. Hey, no, I think this really needs to go to the elders. No, I don't think so. Let's keep this between you and me. Maybe they're harboring some horrendous sin that really does need to go to the elders. Well, Matthew 18 at some point would say, we're going to the elders. Maybe we're going to bring someone else in. But there are biblical steps in all of this that do not involve needlessly volunteering information. And yes, it takes hard work to do this. It doesn't just take courage. It doesn't just take wisdom. It takes hard work. The ninth commandment, believe it or not, often takes a lot of hard work and patience and courage. We can so easily fall into reviling someone or slandering someone or gossiping just because we're lazy. So be wise and be patient with truth as you are receiving truth. And yes, due diligence. Work hard. Be careful. So we've covered the do nots of the ninth commandment. Do not bear false witness, reviling, slander, gossip, all of that. I'm sure there are other words we could find. What are the more positive do's or the thou shalls of the ninth commandment? I think this really gets to the heart of the ninth commandment. One passage we didn't read was 1 Corinthians 13, verses 6 and 7. And perhaps you want to go there now if you want to see it yourself. But this is a passage that just comes to my mind often as it relates to this kind of stuff. Love, this is the famous love passage, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 6, going into verse 7. Love does not rejoice at wrongdoing. Ooh. Gossipers rejoice at wrongdoing. Whisperers rejoice at wrongdoing. Love does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. And here it is, love bears all things. Yeah, I'm willing to bear your burden. Love bears all things. It believes all things. I'm going to assume the best of you. It hopes all things. I'm going to hope the best for you. It endures all things. That's what the ninth commandment requires, positively speaking, I think. Do you love a good name more than you love feasting on the ill reports of another person? Do you love assuming the best of someone? Maybe someone you struggle to like. Do you love assuming the best of them more than you love feasting on the ill reports of them? This is a serious question. I don't think we should just answer it too quickly because it's very easy to say, oh, yeah, of course. But, I mean, really, gossip is popular for a reason. Churches are known as gossip centers for a reason. Christians love to gossip. It's a whole mentality that goes with it, feeding and just feasting off the ill fortune and failures of others. It makes us feel superior when we do it. How do we often feel at the success or the good reputation of others? We can actually feel resentful of it. A gossip, when faced with a successful, righteous man with a good name, is, on the flip side, usually a resentful person. A gossipy person, right? They hear these ill reports. I love that. Well, what's the flip side of that? Well, they hear good reports. I resent that. It doesn't come across as, I hate that person because he has a good name. It often comes across like this. Oh, that family, people say really good things about them, but I know the truth. If only you knew. That's resentment. It's gossipy resentment, as gossip and resentment tend to go hand in hand when faced with a happy family. Let them be a happy family for once. Let the church be filled with happy families, and let's be happy about that. Because we have the gospel. Do we not want anything else? And yet we struggle with that. We get resentful of that and we make excuses for their happiness and think that, no, it's just fake, or we gossip about it. And the Bible says, put all that away. The Bible says that's not the culture. The gossipy, resentful, that's not the culture, the tone, the atmosphere that should be in the church. Instead, what should it be? Rejoice with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. The gospel and righteousness says, man, what a beautiful family, a beautiful person. I hope their life is really as good as it seems. I'm so thankful the Lord has done such wonderful things in his life. I believe it to be true. Imagine a church that, instead of being known for slandering and tearing another's reputations down, it's known, actually positively known in the community, for building up one another's reputations. Imagine a church full of parents who build up the reputations of their children. Instead of complaining about their children, and yes, there's always something to complain about, rather, they praise their children, and they do so in front of others with their children present. Moms get together at a play date or something like that, and these moms over here are complaining about their children and how hard work is, and the children, the moms at Covenant, they're sitting here and saying, oh, I love my children. They're wonderful. I have all these wonderful things to say about them. I love the people in my church. Meanwhile, at other churches, you hear, all these juicy stuff. My church is wonderful. Wonderful families. We love singing and praising Jesus together. Are there juicy details that we could share? Of course. Is that what we're called to do? No. We build one another up. We love our children. We speak highly of them, insofar as we can. And you know what's going to come with that? Resentment. Those who are gossiping, gossipy people, hopefully who are not members of our church, they're going to see people in our church saying, look at them. They just, it's like they've got to be covering stuff up. There's no way that church is that good. There's got to be dirty laundry. I resent that. There's got to be fake. Let them, okay, if that's what they want to stew in, maybe say a word of, hey, maybe you should reconsider this. But Jesus calls us to build one another up. Assume the best. Speak highly one of another. Why? Because Jesus has covered our sins. Jesus has risen. He's given us life. So speak of other people in the church highly. He's the greatest doctor. He's the greatest son, the greatest father, the greatest mother. I can't even begin to express how highly I view the parents or the families in my church. We have such wonderful parents and a wonderful parenting culture at our church and a wonderful group of older folks who really look out for one another. And I actually mean that. I'm saying that not as an example. I'm seeing that sort of thing building in our church, and it is a beautiful thing. I look at some of the older folks and how you guys look out for each other. It's a beautiful thing. Keep it up. If that's the sort of thing that's building, if that's what our church is known for, I mean, do we have our own dirty laundry? Yes, of course. Although that needs to stay where it can actually get cleansed. Our dirty laundry needs to stay where it actually can get clean. Jesus has a process for that, and it does not involve hanging up the dirty laundry in the yard for drying before it's actually been washed. That would be crazy to do. And yet that's what gossip and slander is. Here it is. Out in the yard, on the drying rack, for everybody to see, and I haven't washed it yet. It's a morsel. Eat it. We don't do that. We put our dirty laundry in the washer, and then you present it to the world in your yard. And the beautiful thing is, God has given us a washer. We have a washing machine. We have the cross. Put all the dirty laundry at the cross. Let it be cleansed. Let the Spirit do His work. Trust, hope all things, believe all things. Believe that God is doing a good work in their lives, that they are dealing with their sin as God would have them to, and look at all the beautiful fruit that's coming out of that, and hang that up for people to see. This is the fruit of the gospel. This is the work of the gospel at Covenant in the church. I love it. There's a, I, If there's a psalm that comes to my mind, ad-libbed in a sermon that's not in my notes more often than others, it's Psalm 111. Great are the works of God, studied by all who delight in them. Great are the works of God. I see the works of God in that person in my church, in that person in my church, in that. It's great. I study it and I delight in the works of God, and I want to tell everyone about it. That's how you fight gossip and slander. You recognize the work of God started by putting all that sin in the washing machine, and it comes out clean, and that's what we show to the world. It's not fake. Even though gossipy, slanderous people might think it is. It's the power of the gospel. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to the day of completion. That's how Paul speaks of the church. It's a very high, positive thing to say. It believes all things, it hopes all things, it endures all things. Yeah, church, I know you got struggles, but I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to the day of completion. And I see amazing things, and I will tell it to the world, because God has done it. Make that the culture of our church. Make that the culture of your home, as you think of your children, and talk of your children to other people. Keep the dirty laundry in the washing machine. Deal with it rightly. And tell the world what he has done. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus, that Jesus gives us the answer to our gossipy, slanderous, malicious tendencies. Father, help us to repent of all that, to recognize that dumpster diving in other people's business like that is never helpful. It never gets anything done. Father, the only way we can deal with our sin is to lay it at the cross. And Father, we recognize that there's nothing but beautiful righteousness and salvation to proclaim and show to the world as a result. Father, help us to think highly and hope and believe all things of the people that you are working your salvation into. And Father, may that mark the culture and ethos of this church. Help us to repent of our gossip. Help us to repent of our slander. Help us to actually go to the people and confess to them as we confess to you. And help us to rejoice in right doing. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.